Very good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be with you. Sister Faith sends her apologies. She's working at Olivet today, just the Christadelphian, managing the breaking of bread service this afternoon. She would love to have been here. To prepare our hearts and our minds for remembering our absent Lord, I'd like to just take a very thin slice of what the Apostle John, under inspiration, teaches us about no in his writings, and that's no with a K. Could you open your Bibles, please, to John and chapter 2 to start with? If you would like a little bit of homework, then you can expand on what we are looking at this morning. As we work our way through John's Gospel in our daily readings, you could look out for the word no and ask yourself whether it teaches us something about what the Lord Jesus Christ knew, what the rulers thought they knew but didn't know, when and what the disciples knew, and who else knew about God's teachings through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take it through into the Epistle of John as well, where if you follow the word no through that, it tells us the things that we as disciples ought to know. You can level up a little bit by getting a concordance and ticking through and finding the word no in the English, and you can level up again and follow the Greek word for no. That's because there are two, and there is a distinction between the two. So there's some homework there if you'd like it. But if not, what I'd like us to do is focus on who knew about God's teachings through the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. And to set a little bit of a scene, can you have a look at John chapter 2 and verse 9? Now, I am drawing this out of context, and I know it's telling a different story. It's the story of the time when Jesus turned the water into wine, but there is a little bit of a parable here in this verse. In John chapter 2 and verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. So what this is telling us is that the ruler didn't know and the servants did know. And that's a beautiful summary of how John, under inspiration, is going to use the word no in his gospel. He's going to demonstrate that those who were the teachers and the scribes and the rulers, those that should have known, didn't know God, didn't know his teaching, and weren't properly expecting the Messiah that God delivered to them. But God's servants, Jesus' disciples, ultimately did know. And what I'd like to do this morning is identify in the gospel who knew and when. And then we'll have a look at what they knew, because I find it incredibly revealing who John tells us knew Jesus, knew his teaching, and understood it and responded to it in a positive way. And I've picked this because the first person who knew is in John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, which we just read, we have the record of the time when Jesus and his disciples are traveling past Samaria, and the disciples go into the city to buy food. And Jesus is waiting outside the city by the well, and a woman from Samaria comes out to draw water, and Jesus engages her in a conversation by asking whether he can have a drink of water. And she's astounded that he would speak to her, but he does. And the conversation develops. And as the conversation develops, she appreciates that she's not just speaking to anybody, but she's speaking to someone who she calls a prophet. And because she understands that he is a prophet, that he has a certain knowledge, she has a question that she would like answering. So if you have a look at verse 20, of chapter 4, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So Jesus' message to the Samaritan woman is, you don't know what you're worshipping. The Jews do know, or should know, is the bigger picture that we get from John's gospel. But Jesus' message to the Samaritan woman is, you do not know what you are worshipping. But notice what the woman's reply is in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called the Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things. This woman, this Gentile Samaritan woman, is the first person that engages with the Lord Jesus Christ in John's gospel, and we are told that she knows. She knows that Messiah is coming. Now, if we were writing this in John's time, we probably wouldn't pick the woman as the person. We wouldn't pick a Gentile. But there is a powerful message here, isn't there? That those that we perhaps least would expect to know are the first to know. And it develops in the chapter, actually, because she goes and speaks to the rest of the town. I remember the backstory of this woman. She's someone who is ostracized in the town, someone who is looked down on. But if you have a look at verse 39, she is able to influence a large proportion of the town. So, verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which he testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so the Samaritans that would come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there many days, and many of them believed because of their own word. And then look at verse 42, and said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. So the first person that Jesus interacts with, and we are told knows and understands his teaching, is the Samaritan woman. Come across to John chapter 11, please. And there isn't anybody in the intervening chapters who knows Jesus' teaching, or we are told knows Jesus' teaching. So the first touch point is the woman at the well of Samaria, and then her work to inform those that live in the town with her. But in John chapter 11, we have the record of the time when Lazarus was sick. Jesus takes his time in getting back to Bethany, to the point where Lazarus has died. And in verse 21, as he's coming into the town, he meets Martha. And Martha said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Notice what she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus says to her, Your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So twice here, Martha is saying, I know that whatever you ask of God, verse 22, God will give it to you. And verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So this is the second person that we see that is it's recorded that they knew Jesus' teaching and understood Jesus' teaching. And I love the fact that for Martha, it's repeated, it's doubled down, it's emphasized. As a complete aside, Here's one for you to think about. If you have a look at verse 26. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Says Jesus. The implication is that we should believe that whosoever lives and believes in Jesus will never die. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not my lived experience. We know that many believers have fallen asleep, have died. And we also know that many non-believers have as well. So it's an interesting exercise, that one, in Bible study and Bible reading. Have a think about it. I will leave it hanging, I apologize. Can you come to John chapter 20, please? Because the woman at the well in Samaria is the first person that it's recorded that Jesus spoke to, and she knew his teaching. Martha is the second person that it is recorded that Jesus spoke to, and she knew his teaching. In John chapter 20, we have now the record of the first day of the week after Jesus has been executed, and the women are coming to the tomb to prepare or re-prepare his body. And in verse 1, we read, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." The record focuses on Mary Magdalene for a reason, and we'll see that reason. "And she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." So at this point, Mary Magdalene is saying, "I don't know." So she hasn't reached the point of knowledge yet. It's interesting, it's not just Mary, though, because Simon Peter in verse 6 follows the disciple that Jesus loves and went into the sepulchre and sees the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the emphasis at the beginning of chapter 20 is Mary and the other women didn't know, and the disciples didn't know. It's really interesting. We've got to John chapter 20. We've got to after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. And it's telling us that the disciples still didn't know. I should have pointed out this before, but I want to flag it up to you. Can you keep a marker or a finger here and just pop back to our reading in John chapter 4? Because there is a didn't know for the disciples here as well. If you have a look at verse 31, when the disciples come back to Jesus with the food, in the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat," he said to them, "I have meat to eat that you do not know." And it's a really fascinating commentary on the disciples that all the way through Jesus' ministry, they didn't know in the way that, or in contrast to the Samaritan woman who did know, and Martha, who did know. If we come back to chapter 20, please, we're very much in Mary Magdalene's story here. And we can see in verse 11 of chapter 20 that Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping, and she sees two angels. And then she turns, verse 14, and saw Jesus standing and did not know that it was Jesus. So again, Mary Magdalene hasn't yet reached the point of knowledge. But Jesus says, verse 15, "Woman, why do you weep? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And I know that it doesn't say that she knew at that point, but it's pretty obvious that she did. That's Mary's point of knowledge. And she becomes the third person to know Jesus. First, the woman at the well in Samaria. Second, Mary Magdalene. Third, Mar sorry, second, Martha. Third, Mary Magdalene, which really underlines the point. And I don't want to subvert the very clear teaching about our roles in the ecclesia, but we must make sure that we value the intelligence and the insight of everybody in the flock that the Lord Jesus Christ has gathered together to be part of our family that walk together towards God's kingdom. So at this point, we've got to chapter 20, and we haven't come across, and you can check me up on your readings during your readings if you like. We haven't come across the disciples knowing yet. In fact, we've got that very clear comment in chapter 20 and at verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So let's have a look at chapter 21, because this is when the realization that happens, when the penny drops. But it's interesting that we've got a do not know before we get a no. This is when the disciples leave Jerusalem and start heading back up to Galilee. So chapter 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he him themselves. They were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to him, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they called nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples did not know. So under inspiration, John is saying, still the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus asks them to cast on the other side of the ship. And they have this miraculous draught of fish, and it's brought to shore. And Jesus, verse 9, has prepared a fire. And so as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals thereon, and fish laid thereon, and bread. So he asked them to, as an aside, he asked them to collect fish from the sea. And then when they come to land, Jesus has already got fish. And he started cooking them. And if the fish are disciples, then you can see there's a beautiful parable there. But again, that's a tangent and something else for you to think about. But you will notice in verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" Because now they do know that Jesus is the Lord. And this is the first time we are told in John's gospel that the disciples know. And so, well, and I've hinted at it right at the very beginning of what I was talking about, there's a really strong theme about the rulers not knowing and Jesus' servants knowing, but the disciples don't get to know, it seems, until John chapter 21. And that can be very reassuring for us, can't it? In those times when our faith wavers a little bit, when we feel like we need strength, we can look to those who are counted as faithful disciples who still struggle with their knowledge and their understanding of the Lord God Almighty and the work done by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes to this point for them to know Jesus. And the summary of the gospel is very powerful from this point of view. So if we have a look at verse 24, John is talking presumably about himself. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote of these things, and we know that his testimony is true. We know that his testimony is true. John, under inspiration, has written these things because he knows that what he is witnessing to is true, and he would like us to know as well. So what are the things then that we should understand and know from John's gospel that are so important to understand, that it highlights that the woman at the well of Samaria knew them, that Martha knew them, that Mary Magdalene knew them. Well, let's just flick through them again and just identify what it is that they knew, because these are really key touch points for us. So if you look at chapter 4 and verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ." She knew and she understood God's purpose. She knew that God existed, that he had a plan and purpose with the earth, and that plan and purpose was centered on a Messiah, a future king of a future kingdom. That was the first thing that was identified as somebody knowing about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God was working through him to deliver his purpose and his will by making him a king over a kingdom. So that key piece of knowledge is the first thing that is highlighted. Then if you have a look at chapter 11, at what it is that Martha knew, verse 24 of chapter 11, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day." And so this builds on the knowledge that the Samaritan woman had of a king over a coming kingdom. And Martha is now saying, that kingdom, if it is in the future, if it is beyond the point that I have fallen asleep in Christ, then I know that I will be raised and can be part of that kingdom. So the knowledge that John wants us to highlight, to understand, is first of all, God has a plan, and secondly, that we can be part of that plan. And then if you come to John chapter 20 and Mary Magdalene, her knowledge is about who that plan is through. So look at verse 14 of chapter 20. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. But then when Jesus speaks to her, she turns to him and says, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." So she understood that God was working through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So the woman at the well of Samaria said, "We know that God has a plan and purpose, and that plan and purpose is to send the Messiah, the king, back because he wants to establish a kingdom." Martha says, "I know that I can be part of that because I can be raised at the last day." And Mary Magdalene says, "I know that this is the risen Lord Jesus Christ." And John, writing these things, says, "I'm testifying and writing of these that we may know that these things are true." And so we, as disciples in the 21st century, need to believe that God has a plan and purpose, that that plan and purpose, if needed, will involve raising us at the last day so that we can be part of his kingdom, and that he is doing that through the risen Lord Jesus Christ, whom we are remembering in bread and in wine this morning. And I'd like to finish with a verse from Philippians. Would have been nice to have stayed in John's writing, but we're going to Philippians in chapter 4, please. And when I say Philippians chapter 4, I mean Philippians chapter 3. And you will know where I'm heading. If you want to play with a concordance and dig into the Greek, then honesty prevails upon me to tell you this is a different Greek word to the one that we've been following in the Gospel of John, but it still makes the point really nicely for us. Look at verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death." We are baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know him, that we may fulfill that promise that Martha understood, the power of his resurrection, that we are found not in our own righteousness, but we are judged worthy because we believe that God exists and rewards those who associate themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And so as we take this bread and drink with this wine, we pray that God will bless us and strengthen us in our discipleship, that he will bring back his son, that he will raise all who sleep in the dust to the judgment seat, and that he will establish his wonderful kingdom of peace.